It's Haven.
Oh wow! Thank you.
Were you surprised by my introduction?
A little, you know.
I gotta put my guest over.
I mean, that's true. I do appreciate it.
So, I don't know if you know this, but before Zero Hour started, before the pre-show, there was a contract signing between Mero and Powerhouse Will Hobbs. And Simon Miller was one of the security guards for it.
I did not know that Simon Miller was a security guard.
Yeah. And then it was Team TNA, you know, Jeff Jarrett, Jay Lethal, and Sadman Team, and Paul White, Anthony Ogogo, and Ghetto. He's not from New Japan, but he's like an English, not an English, but he's like big on the UK scene out there.
Okay.
So they came out there and beat them up. And this is all before the pre-show. So they had a pre-show before the pre-show.
So you know what's happened? I had it on, but as far as Jeff Jarrett, when I heard his music, I'm pretty sure I exited the room. I'm just not a fan of him or what they got going on.
You know what's so funny about that? That Texas Chainsaw match that him and Jeff Jarrett had the other day. So I caught Dynamite after. So I literally fast forwarded through that part. I never watched it. I just kind of pretend like it didn't exist.
Yeah, that's what you should do, because it shouldn't exist. It was mad foolish. Like, I understand wrestling should be fun, but it was just too much. And then they try to sell it on commentary, like, Jeff Jarrett thought he could control Leatherface. Like, sir, please stop. Like, you're doing too much.
Right. Yeah. I just couldn't with Jeff Jarrett. Even though, I mean, I like Jeff Jarrett, though. But I just couldn't.
At least one of us does.
You know, I'm saying, don't let him hear you say that. He has no problem hitting women over the head with guitars.
I know, right? I gotta fuck my shit and run.
Right. So, Zero Hour started off with the FTW Championship, Jack Perry versus Hook. And this was, it was dope. I liked it. It was what I expected it to be.
Yeah, I didn't mind it at all. Like, it's not something I was looking forward to, but I was like, the match is going to be good. And it was. I definitely liked the suplex into the windshield. Because it made me, I realized, like, okay, this pay-per-view is going to go hard.
Right.
And it did.
Right. From the gate.
Yeah. Do you want to discuss the controversy that started during that match?
I mean, yeah, because that's a great segue, because after the spot you talked about when he got suplexed into the window, he goes right up to the camera and says, it's real glass, cry me a river. And I'm sure, as everybody knows, him, you know, rumor, I wasn't there, rumor that him and CM Punk had words. And this led to some things happening backstage.
A little scuffle,
fisticuffs.
And yeah, he said it before he got suplexed, and it was in reference to a rumor that he wanted to use glass on Collision, and CM Punk advised not to. He was like, I don't think that's a good idea. And the rumors are that Jack Perry didn't like that, so I guess he was very offended that CM Punk didn't want him to use real glass, which I don't understand.
I don't understand that either. Like, that's
like, he's looking out for your safety at this point.
That part, yeah. I don't understand the part. That's why, you know, it's kind of like a game of telephone. So
yeah.
I feel like part of it is true, but I just don't. I feel like I don't know that man personally, but I feel like Jack Perry would see the reasoning why using real glass is not a good idea.
Yeah. I think the only thing that we can know that is true is probably that there was an issue about real glass or not, because he definitely just referenced it himself to the camera. But as far as what they are reporting of how the scuffle went down, both sides are very different.
Yeah, so right.
We may never know. Same thing with Brawlout. We won't know how it started.
And there was just a tweet out by Brian Alvarez from the Wrestling Observer, saying that both of them have been suspended and neither of them will be working at All Out. I find that hard to believe. I don't know, because just like, you know, they're going to be in Chicago, and we all know how Chicago get down for CM Punk.
That's true.
So,
but as okay, what do you do as a businessman?
Exactly.
Okay, CM Punk, this is his second incident, so now it's like, you're really a problem, buddy. Whether you threw the... All right, if he didn't throw the first punch, I'll give it to him. You could come to work. But if he threw the first punch, this is your second incident. You might have to sit this one out. Because Tony Khan, everyone says he looks like a chump. I feel like he needs to do things. Put his foot down.
Right. Right.
And no offense, they can survive without CM Punk for... another month. Like, you did it for how many years before you got there.
This is true. I would if it is true what they said happened, I would say after All Out.
Okay.
Because not saying that he's the reason for, you know, everybody coming, because they're gonna see AEW either way. But he's, you know, he's from CM Punk. I mean, we know the whole connection with CM Punk in Chicago. That's where he's from. So, yeah.
That's true.
And then you got to rearrange all your booking.
Yeah. Was CM Punk on the card? Or you think we was getting that match announced? Like,
probably on... I'm sure he was getting booked on All Out. It wouldn't make any sense why he wouldn't. So, I guess we'll find out. I guess we will find out on Wednesday.
Indeed we will, but I just think that's wild. Another big AEW show.
Right.
And it's a little
like one comment.
Yeah, as you say, wrong type of publicity, because now everyone's talking about the fight, and the big Wembley show was like kind of secondary.
Unfortunately. Yeah. I'm choosing to look at the next match we had, and I actually misspoke, because the first match was the tag team match, but it's all good. The tag team match with Brochachos, MJF and Adam Cole versus Aussie Open. And I mean, this was, I didn't know. I actually, on my predictions, guessed it's wrong, and I feel so silly thinking about it now. Like, duh, of course they would win. Who wants to see the main event go in as losers?
I know, but I also guessed that Aussie Open was going to retain. Because I didn't want to think that they was going to be, like, I don't even want to say transitional champions, but they had it for, like, just a little bit over a month. That's so lame to me. So, but I get it, you know, for story purposes, just sucks, because I do enjoy Aussie Open.
Yeah.
The match was cool, though.
The match was good. He got off the kangaroo kick.
He finally got it.
They got the double clothesline. Shout out
to Kyle Fletcher for selling that double clothesline.
He sure did. Yeah, all right, so then after this, we get into
into the main show.
Yes, we get into the main show, which started off with, we just kind of can't stop talking about them. It started off with Samoa Joe and CM Punk for the real World Heavyweight Championship.
Gotta put that in quotes.
You know, I do like the storyline with it, though. I do like the storyline. Mm-hmm. Of that, but and I like this match too. I thought it was kind of the same thing. It was exactly what I expected it to be. Yeah. I was surprised by the finish, though, of the Pepsi plunge, but I thought it was a good match.
It had me. I wasn't on the edge of my seat, but I was definitely interested. I loved when Samoa Joe swung him into the commentary table. I'd never seen that before. The way that it like broke and he was all busted open, I was like, yes.
Yeah.
I love this.
So I really like when Punk did, he went all Hogan, John Cena. Right. Like, I'm feeling it. Like, it's just like, if they're going to boo you, you gotta lean into it.
Got to. He's really good at that, though. Here's my thing. just a little more about that whole fight. If he doesn't get suspended for a long amount of time or suspended at all, he just needs to 100% lean into this heel character. Like, come on screen and be an absolute asshole. Right. Like, he dips into it a little bit, but, like, we know where he can go.
Right. You know? Right. Like, it's coming, but it just needs to, y'all just kind of just need to quicken the process.
So. Like, they're gonna have to pull the trigger on that, because it's like, we keep hearing about his fight. Everyone thinks he's problematic. Just let him be problematic on TV.
I really hope it's a work.
The reason why I don't see this one being a work, I would have believed the Elite thing for this one, because who cares about Jack Perry? No offense. Who cares about Jack Perry, like, beefing with CM Punk? Like, it's not going to be an angle on TV.
Facts. Yeah,
so,
that's
the reason why I think it's real.
Yeah, and I know it's real. I know. Well, I do think it's real, but I was just hoping that it would be. And that makes sense. Like, if it was something with the Elite, it'd be like, oh, okay, finally.
Yeah.
Next up, we have the Golden Elite versus Bullet Club Gold. Kanoki Kaneshita. Am I saying his name right? No, I'm not.
Kanosuke Takeshita. I had to practice that.
Right. Say it one more time.
Kanosuke Takeshita.
Kanosuke Takeshita.
Close, but it's all right. I'm here to say it.
Right. Thank you. And I have to say that I can't believe I'm saying this, but this was like a good main event of, like, Dynamite match.
Yeah. I mean, you're not wrong. The match wasn't spectacular, but it was good. Like, I'm not gonna say it was bad. You know, it was good. But I think compared to everything else that happened on the card,
it was a little underwhelming.
Yeah, it was.
And I can't believe you're saying that about a Kenny Omega match. It's just like...
I know. But listen, it's furthered the story, you know, because Takeshita beat Kenny Omega with the infamous roll-up.
Right
in the middle of Kenny getting crazy. He was handing out V-triggers.
Right, he was handing them out.
His ass got rolled up.
So, I mean, you're right. And this is like, it's All Out and All In are, you know, two sides of the same coin, which are continuing. Which I actually like the idea of that. I actually wish they kind of leaned into it even more, like, that it just, like, kind of flows into each other. So, I understand, but I was just surprised thinking, like, after All Out, after it was done, I was just like, thinking about the matches I really liked, I'm just like, Kenny,
it wasn't my favorite match of the night, but it was good.
Right. That's my guy right there. That's my favorite wrestler. So
I know.
So next match up that we had was the AEW World Tag Team Championship, FTR versus Young Bucks. And before I get into the match, I just want to say that Nick Jackson came out on his promos, just dogging FTR, talking about y'all need to beat us. Y'all are only famous because we played y'all, we dissed y'all. Shout out to Nick Jackson for just not holding back.
Absolutely. I mean, it's definitely some truth to that, too.
Facts.
And I like that. I like when they can blend it, you know?
Right.
Make me believe that you really feel this way. Because some people really do.
Right.
But yeah, the match was good.
And, you know, I'm glad that the situation with Cash Wheeler didn't affect him being able to get into London, because a couple people couldn't get on a card because of visa issues or whatever issues they had. So I'm glad that he was able to, because this match, yeah, like you said, it was great. It was a classic. I think it might be recency bias. This might be my favorite match of the three that they had, because unfortunately, I think the first two were plagued by, were the first two plagued by COVID, or was it just one of them?
It might have been just one, but I'm not sure. I'm not 100% sure.
I know one of them were definitely plagued by COVID, so I'm glad that these two teams just got the chance to be able to, you know, fight for the right to say why they are the best. And, you know, if you wanted to argue FTR or the Young Bucks was the best tag team, I would not argue against you.
One thing I didn't like about the match, and it's gonna come up again later in another match.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that I think it was specifically Matt Jackson and Cash Wheeler, they kicked out of both teams' finishers back to back. Like, they got hit with what's it called? What's the name of their finisher? You know.
The Shadow Machine from FTR.
Yeah, they kicked out of that, and they kicked out of the Young Bucks finisher, and they was hit with them back to back. And how?
Right.
Like, kicking out of one, okay, but both, and then both of y'all are gonna do it? I don't know about this.
Yeah. Sometimes selling goes out the window to tell stories. But now I agree with that. As to being the wrestling nerds that we are, it's like, we gotta, you know, it's only right.
Yeah, like, I gotta complain a little bit, because I'm like, come on, guys. And my biggest complaint, wait till we get to that match.
Nah, I feel you. I like the ending sequence, though. I like how it just ended. It was just rapid fire, boom, 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 Shadow Machine out of nowhere.
Mm-hmm. I was like, oh, it's over at this point. Ain't no more false finishes after this one.
Right. You can't false finish too much. Next match up was the Stadium Stampede, and this match was unfortunately a victim of injury. You know, I know I'm specifically going to bring this up because I know one of your favorite wrestlers, also one of my favorite wrestlers too. He's just beast, just the bastard. Pac was unfortunately injured.
I'm so mad.
Yeah, I think it was originally supposed to be Death Triangle, Best Friends, and three people from the BCC, but
yeah, I think so too.
Pac got injured, which sucks, because he just came off of injury.
Bro, don't get me started. I will cry. He was gone for 6 months, came back, had three matches, and was like, right. Nah, he's hurt. I'm like,
and he was going to be in the UK, and he just came off that crazy match with Claudio on Ring of Honor. That match was crazy.
Yeah, I'll never forgive Claudio for this, because they said that's when he got hurt.
When he threw him through the table?
I don't know if that's when. I think that was the spot, but they said he got hurt in that match and was just fighting through it for his match on that Dynamite.
Right. Damn, that sucks.
Claudio, I'm shaking my fist at him.
Waving your fist at Claudio. Mm-hmm. But this match was crazy. I'm going to start off with the criticism. I really feel like they should have started this match off in the back. They could have even gotten away with some pre-tape stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And then came to the ring. I feel like it lacked a little bit of the chaos that the other Stadium Stampedes had. Like, the other Stadium Stampedes was just all over the, like, really crazy. And this one was a little tame.
It was definitely a lot tamer.
Yeah.
Eddie Kingston was missing for a little while at one point.
Right. He was missing for a little while. You know, Penta came out with his alter ego. I mean, it was cool, but
he had a wardrobe change in the middle of the match.
Right. That's hilarious. You know what I'm saying? I'm watching this with friends. I gotta explain something like this. You know what I'm saying? Like,
having to explain to people is crazy.
It was a little crazy. But, you know, leave it up to Jon Moxley to always turn it up to 1,000 with the skewers, having it hang from his head like a peacock. Jon Moxley is all in.
That was, no pun intended. Moxley is actually insane. Like,
right.
I will say, I feel like this was a really good tribute to Terry Funk.
Yeah.
Because they really did some hardcore shit. There's a gift that I have of Moxley where it's blood is literally pouring out of his, it's like right above his eye, like a faucet. Like, I'm gonna send it to you after this, but I'm like, this is disgusting. And he's just chilling. He's just sitting there.
He's used to it.
You're losing.
Right.
You are losing fluids.
Right. He is Moxley's crazy. Definitely, you know, one of those one of my time warping fantasy bookers would have loved to see him. Prime Terry Funk versus Jon Moxley, or Mick Foley versus Jon Moxley. He is just
what's that boo?
Oh yes.
They would have had some insane.
He would have fit in perfectly in 1990s ECW.
Yeah, that's definitely, that would have been his era for sure. But the match was cool. It was chaotic, as it should be. They Shout also out. Had Legos.
I'm yes, they had Legos. And I don't want to sound like the Debbie Downer or to compare, but one thing that AEW has to do, and I understand the match is chaotic and all this, but they missed a lot of things.
Yes. The cameraman, literally right when I think the Legos came out, the cameraman, it switched to someone else. I'm like, dude, I need to see somebody thrown on these.
Right, the Legos. You can't miss the Legos. Crazy.
Can't miss the Legos. They missed a couple of things, like right as it was about to happen, they turned to a different camera shot. I'm like, dude,
That's one thing they can definitely, I don't know, hire some of their former cameramen, but like, I don't like to compare, but even though we don't have nothing else to compare to, you know, that's something they can retake from WWE. WWE's cameras be on point. Like, you see everything. And I understand this is a chaotic match, but there was a lot of things that as a viewers we kind of miss. So.
Yeah.
And they didn't have the music playing during it for most of it. Like, usually they let the music just play for a while.
Yeah, I do like that aspect. It makes it seem more crazy.
Right. But it was all right.
Shout out to Orange Cassidy for getting a win. You know, he hit the orange punch on Claudio's bitch ass.
Facts.
Well, he had glass that was stuck to tape wrapped around his fist.
Yeah, that finish was crazy. Orange Cassidy, they did further along some stories in this. Like, yeah. I definitely think we're going to get Orange Cassidy versus Jon Moxley at All Out.
Oh, we are, because during the media scrum, I did watch. Penta versus Orange Cassidy this Wednesday.
Okay.
And whoever wins fights Moxley at All Out. So we know it's gonna be Orange Cassidy.
Right, right. Ooh, oh my gosh, just Orange Cassidy wins. Sheesh.
He be working, I'm not gonna lie. That guy puts
him on. That's the most fighting the champion. Orange Cassidy's out there week after week, and it's a great story too.
Because Tony Khan was like, I don't know if you're okay to have the match. He said, I'm not, but I'm going to have it anyway. And I was like, you know what? Yes. I like that.
I wanted to watch the media scrum earlier today, but I did not get a chance because I was out, but I'm probably going to watch it after.
It was long, but I did find it interesting.
I like the media scrums.
Yeah.
After this, we're still rolling the championship territory. We had the AEW Worlds Women's Championship in a four-way bout with Saraya, Toni Storm, Dr. Britt Baker, DMD, and the champion, Holy Shida. I like this match. Some people that I was talking to said it was a little underwhelming. I don't think it was underwhelming. I wish that there was more women's wrestling on AEW TV. They have the roster. That's nor here nor there. But I did like this match. I really like the finish in particular, and I found out. So Saraya's mom is named Saraya.
Yeah.
So I guess they don't have too many names for them.
I think that was her wrestling name.
Okay.
I don't know a whole family's name, but I know they all are wrestlers in some way.
Yeah.
Well, at some point they were. I thought the match was okay. I didn't love it, didn't hate it. I think it was too short for a four-way. And it does suck that the women keep getting the short end of the stick, because under 10 minutes is crazy for a fatal four-way.
Yeah. So, yeah. Okay, you gotta do a better job with booking a woman. It's not. You gotta do better. Like, tired of saying this to fans, honestly.
But I thought it was cool that she won in her hometown. Somebody had to, right?
Right.
Somebody had to. And they kept showing Mercedes Moné in the crowd.
Shout out to Moné.
We know at some point she's gonna work with AEW.
Yeah, I seen that part of the media scrum where it's just like, well, you know, Mercedes Moné she's not clear to wrestle or to do anything, but she was in a crowd, and I thought that it would be great if she came to the event and see a woman wrestling with all the other guys wrestling too, and she's not cleared and she's not able to wrestle yet, but I'm pretty sure we'll see her on AEW TV. She's not cleared and she can't wrestle just quite yet.
Don't you love how he repeats himself like a thousand times? Like, Tony Khan, relax.
He makes sure that you
We know.
And not, don't blink once.
not once. He just be staring right at you.
Right.
Four times.
Oh my gosh. He definitely gives you uninterrupted eye contact.
Yo, that's so awkward. I wouldn't know what to do.
Oh my gosh. But nah, the funniest one, I'm now going on 25, right? The funniest is when he first changed the AEW International Championship. It was the Atlantic Championship, and then they changed it to the International. Mm-hmm. And they were also promoting Sham, Fury of the Gods, and he was promoting that. I don't know if you remember that promo, but it was just like,
thank goodness.
Yo, you would think somebody was like holding guns on the other side of it. Just like, yo, like if you miss one word, like we're just like, we're blasting you right now, because he just doesn't blink for like 1 minute.
That's talent. How you do that?
I don't, right. That's talent. Shazam, Fury of the Gods, leveling up, International Championship in Calgary, Orange Cassidy. It was just like, oh my. Anyway,
he's reading something and he just don't want to blink because he might mess up or something. I don't know.
Right. Wow. So the next match up we had was the coffin match with Swerve Strickland, Christian Cage, Darby Allin, and it's Sting.
This match was an interesting one too. It was pretty crazy, but like in a better way, I think.
Yeah.
Shout out to Sting.
Always shout out to Sting.
He is up there in age, but he be moving.
He be doing his thing. Like he didn't get him the first time on the table, so he went back up there and hit him with a Hogan leg drop.
Mm-hmm. Like, he made it work. I liked it. I thought it was cool. I wanted Swerve and Christian to win because I like them, but.
Right.
So I get why Sting and Darby had to win. I'm just truly not a fan of Darby, so yeah, no.
I think the storyline got messy when that last Dynamite with the whole AR Fox thing. And don't get me wrong, I love Christian Cage. I just feel like they could have done that a little bit smoother.
Yeah, it felt like we scrambling for something.
Right. I don't even mind the last minute Christian Cage, but I think it's just the way they did it was just kind of weird. I thought the match was cool. I like Christian Cage. That's my guy right there.
Yeah, Christian is fire.
Darby Allin, I think, I don't know. Sometimes he's hit and sometimes he's missed for me.
He's just always missing me. I just don't buy him. Like, he's paper thin, and I don't even like his character. So I'm just like, I don't believe you beating many people. I don't like your character. You just, he can go. But you know, I know people like him. He serves his purpose, so it's cool.
Yeah, I like Sting.
I think what they should have did with the Swerve and AR Fox thing, I think they should have just had Nick Wayne and Darby like ambush AR Fox somewhere, like in a pre-recorded thing, mm-hmm. and take him out of commission, and then Swerve would have had to get someone, and then it could have been Christian. Because him kicking him out of Mogul Embassy and Darby Allin accepting him back into his life don't make sense, because he was terrorizing him and almost beat Nick Wayne to a bloody pulp. So I'm like,
yeah,
this don't make sense.
They're trying to like play it off and trying to get his forgiveness and stuff like that, but I just don't think that. I think that was a misstep. Yeah, that was a misstep. But what was not a misstep, and which was really interesting, because prior, when this match was first announced, I don't think anybody was necessarily too excited, but I think that promo, the go home show to All In between Chris Jericho and Will Ospreay, I think everybody got a little hype for it. I was like, this is gonna be good. I really like the way Will Ospreay delivers promos. He just sounds like a guy that's just really pissed off and just talks mad shit. Kind of gives like a Conor McGregor kind of feel. It felt like a big time. The way they handled the promo match duel, whatever, at the go home show, it made this match feel really big time.
Yeah. And I said if you didn't want to see Ospreay win before that promo, I feel like you should want to see him win now, because I think he gave it his all in that promo.
Yeah. and this was a good match. This is a really good match. You know, a lot of people were thinking that Chris Jericho wasn't going to be able to keep up, and I just like, yo, Chris Jericho is arguably one of the greatest of all time. He knows how to work a match. He knows how to pace out any, like. I knew it was going to be a good match. That promo battle just made it even better. And Jericho did keep up with Will Ospreay like every step. So,
I think the match was cool. I didn't hate it. I think I was just really annoyed because I feel like Will Ospreay should have had a different opponent. I'm not somebody who cares about Chris Jericho, and even though it wasn't the worst, you know what I mean? There was some missteps from Jericho in that match, and I'm just like, this is why Ospreay should have had somebody else. And my biggest gripe about the whole show was in this match, because why did Chris Jericho kick out of Stormbreaker? Why did it have to take two and a Hidden Blade to beat Chris Jericho? No, like, absolutely not. And I don't like that. I'm like, there's a way to be like a vet and a legend and help elevate other people, but I'm like, that's not how you do it. You didn't need to take what, so much damage to be beaten. Like, you should have lost to that first Stormbreaker, bro. Get out of here.
I feel you. I actually like it for the opposite reason. I'm glad that he took two Stormbreakers, because it made it feel like he had to do that to beat Jericho, and like this is kind of like a passing of the torch in a way. I felt.
I just think it's unrealistic. Jericho is not in his prime. Ospreay is. It should have been easier than that, you know. But whatever, people love Jericho, so hey. I just think Jericho should take some notes from Sting, because Sting is not there every week. Sting doesn't really have singles matches, and so Sting is playing his role. He's also helping younger talent, but I think in a much better way, because he's doing multi-man matches. And he's not there all the time taking up a bunch of TV time from other people. Jericho is there basically every single week. At one point, he was giving promos all the time. His whole Jericho Society shit was taking up a lot of time. And no offense to those people, but where are they now? You know what I'm saying? Like, only Sammy was present. Everyone else is just not on TV. So it's like, did you really help them? Or did it only work when they were with you, but they were still playing a backseat to you? Like, that's my issue with Jericho. I feel like he don't know when to step back and let other people get their shine.
Yeah, unfortunately, you would think from working with Jericho and AEW that your stock would rise after, but it kind of doesn't. It's kind of like there's no consequences. Like, you know, Jericho would lose and he just goes into another feud.
Yeah, because even when Action Andretti beat him, everyone was like, oh, that's so cool. He put over this young new guy. Where is he now? He is in a tag team.
Yeah. That was definitely
not doing anything.
Yeah, that was such a missed opportunity.
It sucks. I'm not saying that they're not doing anything, because, like, obviously you're on TV, you're working. But, like, you beat Chris Jericho, you would think that.
Right. It used to. When AEW kind of first started, it was a really big deal to beat Chris Jericho. But they would capitalize on that momentum, rather. But yeah, that was a missed opportunity with Action Andretti. They should have definitely used it to push him further.
Yeah, because he was like, people was on him after that. They was hype, and then it just died down and he wasn't around.
Yeah.
He was on Rampage, and we know a lot of people don't watch Rampage.
This is Rampage, baby!
I even skip that show sometimes.
Yeah, it's just, so. Right, it'd be a lot.
It definitely do.
So the next match up was the Trio Champion. It was the House of Black versus the Acclaimed. And not Daddy Ass, but Badass Billy Gunn. And, you know, this match was cool. It did what it did. I personally feel like the House of Black did not get the run that they should have. They had some high moments. This match was cool. It did what it was supposed to. You know, Billy Gunn, you know, he was the badass in this one. I really like the Acclaimed. They're always going to be super over. Yeah. I just kind of wish it didn't have to come at the expense of the House of Black, to be honest.
Yeah, I was like, damn, they're both teams are deserving, but I wanted House of Black to have a longer run and, like you said, a better one. Like, they started off hot, though, because they did come out the gate beaten teams and they had the lights down low during their matches, they got the stipulations, then they'll be missing on TV for a week or so, and then like no like real, this was like their real feud with a story behind it. Everything else was kind of like
just throwing it together.
Like
that, they beat some good people, but it's like there was no story. Like with the Elite, they beat the Elite and they beat CMFTR, but it's just like if there was a story behind the CMFTR thing, then that would have been that would have made it better. But
that much better.
Right. But we do have new champions. We do have new trio champions.
Yeah, we do.
And the Acclaimed.
I'm happy for Billy Gunn. Like who would have thought?
Right, because I'm pretty sure he is gonna hang it up pretty soon.
Yeah. So even though he was moving though. He was definitely moving out there.
So next up. Was, and I always like long-term stories, and this has been a really good long-term story. It's been intricate, a lot of character, nuances. They had a great match. They brought everything full circle with starting out All In. He even started out the original All In. I'm talking about the AEW World Champion MJF versus Adam Cole in the main event. And, you know, came full circle with them starting out All In and them ending out All In. This was a really good match. These two can really, they can go. And I'm happy that Adam Cole started working with MJF, because when Adam Cole first came back, he was, that's my guy right there. But he wasn't looking too good out there, I'll be honest.
Damn.
He wasn't. I know it was Ring Rust, but he just wasn't. Remember those matches with Daniel Garcia and even the match with Chris Jericho? It just wasn't. I'm like, this ain't Adam. Adam Cole was not. I don't know. This is not the Adam Cole that I'm used to. But then when he started feuding with MJF and the tag team, the Brochachos, that's when I was like, okay, this is Adam Cole. This is the guy that I'm used to seeing. So I feel. And he kind of mentioned that in one of his promos, like his confidence came back. And you really seen that with his promos and his in-ring work.
Yeah, I think they work really, really well together. And I think they needed each other, actually, because to me, MJF was getting, you know how I felt about him. He was getting real stale. apparently, you and some other people thought Adam Cole just wasn't it, but like when you brought them together in this story, you know, it makes you, I look forward to seeing them.
Yes.
And then it showed us that they can be funny in their own ways, right? Like, and MJF doesn't, he doesn't completely lose the character. You know, he's still very much an asshole, you know, but he actually cares about this guy. And I like that they used that in the match. Like, he had many opportunities to cheat and to just hurt Adam Cole when he didn't even want to power drive him.
Right.
You know, I was like, wow, that's so cool that he just like, I just can't do it. But Adam Cole was like, well, I'm going to do it.
Right.
But then Adam Cole couldn't hit him with the chair, you know what I'm saying? Or he couldn't hit him with the belt. And I was like, this is cool.
I really like that spot, like towards the end where there was, you know, like the Eddie Guerrero kind of tribute, just throwing the chair back and forth to each other. Yeah, it was, you know, they fleshed this out. They're 3D dimensional characters, multi-layered emotional characters. I like that in my storytelling, you know, with all the things that you mentioned. MJF basically turning, he's fully, I think after this is fully babyface turn.
Yeah, like it solidified it, because in something that means the most to him and his championship, he still didn't want to hurt his best friend or cheat to keep it.
Right.
Also, we can't forget Roderick Strong came out, he kicked Adam Cole, I mean, he kicked MJF in the nuts, and Adam Cole wasn't happy about it, but he still was going to capitalize on it, because he did hit him with Enema Sunrise, but MJF kicked out. And then at the end of everything, you know what, I'm going to let you tell the end of the match.
No, you can go ahead, you can tell.
Okay, so the match ended first, because they both hit each other with a double clothesline.
Right, I really like that spot. Yeah.
So both of their shoulders was down, and Adam Cole had asked him again 5 more minutes, just like their first time. And Max said no, but then he said, we're going to go until there's a winner. So the match started again, and I feel like they actually turned it up.
They did.
Turned it up. He hit him with a Panama Sunrise on the outside. He tried to hit it again in the ring, but like MJF moved the ref into the way, so the ref caught it. Shout out to that ref.
shout out to the ref for taking that bump.
Because yeah, that's wild. And yeah, like Max had the Dynamite Diamond Ring. He was gonna use it, but then was like, nah, can't do it. And then when Adam Cole, Roderick Strong gave him the belt, Adam Cole took off the shirt. He took off the Better Than You Baby shirt.
Right,
I was like,
right.
Oh my gosh, here it comes. Here comes the backstab. But then he was like, no, I can't do it. And that cost him the match because he got, what, was he rolled up or was it an inside cradle?
Yeah, it was an inside cradle.
And he lost.
Yep.
And it's crazy. And he was upset. And he was basically crying in the corner. And MJF was like, no, look, we're still the tag champions. And then Adam Cole was like, I don't care. And so MJF got upset. He's like, oh, so you really didn't care about me? You just care about this championship? So he threw the world title at Adam Cole. It was like, take it. And then he was like, you know what? Just actually hit me with it.
He threw an F-bomb in there when he was walking towards him. He was just like, hey, you take the fucking belt.
Yeah. And I felt him. I felt like he really meant that.
Yeah,
and then Adam Cole grabbed the belt, but he just couldn't hit he couldn't hit MJF with it. And then they hugged it out.
Hugged it out.
I love that the crowd thinks the answer to all problems is to just hug it out.
I mean, sometimes
it might be the answer.
Sometimes that just really might be the answer, yo. Just hug it out, yo. It's all right. Just hug it out, you know.
I think we should all try that. Like, you know, you arguing with your boss. Maybe y'all should just hug it out.
You hug it out, right? Let's just hug it out. Yeah. See how you feel about this.
But I thought that was really dope. I like how they added Roderick Strong. The Kingdom came out to console Roderick again.
Poor Roderick.
Showed us with the neck brace. That makes it so
much right. It makes it so much worse with the neck brace.
It's hilarious.
So right.
And it showed us that Adam Cole and MJF actually have a real friendship. That their friendship means more than winning the title. Essentially, that's crazy.
I do think sometime down the line, Adam Cole will turn super heel.
I'm waiting for that moment.
I'm waiting for it. Now, I'm glad that I thought that they were going to do it tonight, and I'm actually glad they didn't. I think they should really wait a while to really, really just let you kind of just almost forget that it's a possibility, and then boom.
And I think that might be where they're headed, because they're going to have to really just be defending them Ring of Honor tag titles.
Yeah,
and so then it might make us forget about, you know, the little what's
the possibility of it. And I think this is a way to not, like, I like MJF as champion, but I don't know, like, his defense is, you know, I'm not sure who his next opponent's gonna be.
Right.
I'm not sure who his next opponent's gonna be. I could fantasy book it, but I'm not sure who it is. So I think they're taking some time to get his next opponent for the championship. I mean, they got a pay-per-view next week, so I guess they got to figure out something quick.
I don't even think he's going to be on there defending his world title. Unless it's like Roderick Strong, and we know 100% he's not going to be MJF.
Right, right. It might be a tag team match. Probably going to defend the Ring of Honor tag team.
Yeah, I can see that. First of all, give Aussie Open a rematch. But no, because if they're going to lose...
They're definitely going to lose.
I don't want them to lose twice.
They're going to lose to the Brochachos.
Don't give them a rematch. Don't do it. But yeah, I think you're right. I think it's going to... It gives us time to, like, figure out who's his next opponent. And just really look more into their friendship and them as a tag team. Make sense?
So overall, that was all of All In from the top to the bottom. How did you feel about the show overall?
Overall, I think the show was a success. I think it was a really good show. There was no match that I didn't watch. There was no match that I was like, this could have been on Dynamite. You know what I mean? Because like, even though the Elite versus BCG wasn't like the best, it still was big enough, you know?
Yeah.
Like, they brought in Ibushi and everything. But it was cool.
Ibushi seems out of place.
Yeah, no offense. I think that everybody wanted to see him in the beginning of AEW, and now it's kind of like, oh.
He needs to wrestle. I don't wrestle, but I just think he just needs to wrestle more.
Okay.
I feel like kind of like how Adam Cole, when he first came out of that injury, he was just like, he had some ring rust. You got to work out the kinks and really get back to. I feel like Ibushi doesn't wrestle enough, and it's like putting him on these big. I think he's definitely deserving of it. He's putting it to work, but I just think he just needs to wrestle more so we can get that Ibushi that we're really used to seeing.
Something. Maybe bring him on a Dynamite. Have him wrestle somebody.
Right. Yeah. You got to wrestle on some Dynamite. You got to get some Dynamites under his belt. But yeah, overall, I like the show. I thought it was a success as well. I think injuries affected the show in a lot of ways, unfortunately. You know, Jamie Hayter being injured, Pat being injured, Bryan Danielson being injured. They were, all of them would have played a big part in it. I wish Jade Cargill was here for All In. I wish Mercedes Moné wasn't injured. I know she would have. There probably would have been two matches. I really do think there would have been two matches had she been cleared.
But, I think so.
Yeah. Overall, though, I do think it was a good show, and they're gonna be there. They're going back next year.
I hope they actually get 90,000 paid tickets instead of 81,35.
Yes. Yes, the magic number, 81,35.
Shout out to them for doing that, because that's a big ass deal.
Facts. I feel like that's an accomplishment that's a win for AEW. But I think overall, that's just a win for wrestling. You know, these are bigger than Super Bowl. WrestleManias and it's All In. That's bigger numbers than a Super Bowl.
That's crazy. I don't know nothing about sports other than wrestling, so I believe you.
Yeah.
And I know that's crazy.
Right. So they're doing stadiums. Like, this is where they have, you know, soccer games and Super Bowls at. And AEW and WWE are both selling them out. So I think this is a victory for all of wrestling. And yeah, it was a good show. You know, nice full circle. Haven't done wrestling podcasts in a long time. So to start it off there and to come back here, had a great co-host for the show. Shout out to Haven.
Hey, thank you for having me.
You know, it was good. So speaking of, you know, tell the people where they can find you at, where they can support you, what you got going on.
You can find me on Instagram, is where I'm at the most. It's at Haven_Rain. That's HAEVYNREYHNE. Also on TikTok. Twitter, I don't really tweet too much sometimes during wrestling, but yeah, definitely Instagram.
It's X now, okay? It's X.
Oh, X, I forgot it's X. Definitely on Instagram, that's where I'm at the most. I post almost every single day a wrestling reel. We talk a lot of wrestling over there, so
talking that talk.
So yeah,
therefore, well, thank you for being a guest on the Richie Moon Show.
Inviting me.
No problem. So you know, Richie Moon Show is back. It's not going to be all wrestling. We're definitely going to be talking about other things, you know, that regularly scheduled program. But for big wrestling events, I definitely will be tapping in and giving my thoughts and having guests on there. Maybe we'll have Haven back on again if she's available, and you know.
Indeed.
So before we do get out of here, you know, rest in peace to Bray Wyatt.
Yeah.
Rest in peace to Terry Funk. Yeah, it was a great week in wrestling, but it was also a sad week in wrestling. Shout out to MJF and also to the House of Black for doing like the tribute to Bray Wyatt with the Fireflies.
And the FTR had the armbands.
Yes. And so did Mercedes Moné.
Yes, she definitely did.
Yeah. So shout out to you know, Bray Wyatt's family. You know, that is just, you know, he was a husband, his father. I actually hooked up with my guys on Kayfabe Avenue, and we did a tribute show to Bray Wyatt, just talking about his favorite matches and favorite moments. And it seemed, thank you. It seemed like from across the wrestling world that he was just a really genuine, nice guy. And that's always great to hear.
Yeah, it seemed like everybody liked him.
But with that being said, thank you once again, Haven, for tapping into the Richie Moon Show. That has been the All In Recap. You can catch us on all platforms, wherever you're listening to. Keep listening over there. Your need for acceptance can make you invisible in this world. I hope that you, even if you don't watch wrestling, you happen to catch this. Think of, if you're not a wrestling fan, just, you know, think of, these are larger than life characters, and they're getting to display their stories through athletic and through storytelling, verbal storytelling. And it's really, it's a mirror of real life in some kind of ways. But I say all that to say that, you know, it's a, the world is a stage. So play your part, stay smart, do your thing. I have been Richie Moon. That has been Haven. And this has been the All In Recap.